Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
God is so good. Well, don't miss this week is good. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit the last couple of weeks, and wasn't last week fun with Martin Milton and the words, and the Holy Spirit fell, and wow, that was like, yay. I love it because I know some of your circumstances, but he doesn't. So when he's got it, I think the whole church altar was up here, right? And as he's given words, I know some of the circumstances, and it's so confirming that God just knows, he knows every hair on your head. Right? That's awesome. So Wednesday night, Mary Esther is going to be teaching a follow-on and preparing us for I Was Made to Worship. So Wednesday night at 6:30 is really the start of the conference. And then Friday night at 6:30, we'll be here for I Was Made to Worship. Then again, Saturday at 12:30, and then 6:30 Saturday night. Sunday morning, this place is going to rock. I'm telling you why. We're going to have three churches here. We have the Brazilian church. Actually, our Brazilian pastor is going to preach. We're going to have our Spanish congregation. It's going to be, I'm just saying, you buckle up. It's going to be a fun time. So I would just prepare yourself. Set some time aside this week and be part of that. We were made for this purpose. And it actually drives the enemy completely wacko when we worship in spite of all of our stuff. Whew. Let me just pray over us. Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, we honor you. We give you thanks. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're the Spirit of truth. You not only comfort, but you lead, you guide, direct us. So we invite your presence here this morning. I ask you to capture the heart, those that will listen on live stream. We know that there's many that listen from faraway places. Pat actually sends them the outlines in advance, and they listen in. So we speak to the blessings of the Lord. And we ask that this morning you would have a word for everyone in particular. We take authority over anything that would hinder or distract, distort, manipulate, control. We've been given full power and authority over all the works of the demonic realm, and we exercise that. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. We release your presence to completely lead us and guide us in your heart, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be the children of the Most High God. Everyone said? Amen. I want to, if you look at your outline, I've been really meditating on this all week. I've titled the message, I Will Be Your Father and You Will Be My Sons and Daughters. That's out of 2 Corinthians 6:18. Now, I don't know, in this paragraph I tried to capture this because we may take for granted and we may miss the significance of God as our Father. We say it, but do we get it? The God of the universe is your Father. The God of the universe is your Father, if you're a believer. And so let that kind of go down from your head, you know, the knowledge part of who we are and what we read and so, yeah, to get it right here. Because once you get it right here, oh my Lord, it changes a whole, you can call to your Father. Jesus could call to his Father myriads of angels. So it says, do we really understand what this really means? Our earthly fathers, they may be good examples or they may be poor examples of what a father should be. And by the way, we all have fatherless areas in our hearts. That's a reason he said in Psalm 68, verse 5, I, the Lord, will be a father to the fatherless. You know my story, my dad, I thank you, honor him. But for the first 40 years of his life, he was an alcoholic, struggled, it was broken. Came back from World War II and Korea, PTSD, drunk, broken, losing homes. It was not fun in that environment, but you know, all things work together for good. I can look back now and say, oh, I see what you were doing in the midst of that. So some of you had awesome fathers, some of you have had no fathers or no one in your life, or they were distant even though they were in your life, they maybe weren't there, working all the time. I'm not exaggerating and I'm not bragging, I've done thousands of prayer ministries. Fatherlessness and motherlessness is probably the biggest issue in that child's life, even when they're older. And so this idea that God's going to be a father to the fatherless is like, yay. He said he would be a father. And then he tells us in the last part of that paragraph there at the top of your handout, Jesus is the way to the Father, and he will reveal Heavenly Father to us. We know he's the way, the truth, and the life, right? John 14, 6. He's not only the way, he's also the truth, and he is life. He's all that. But he says, I'm going to reveal the Father to you. The more you know me, the more I'll show you the Father, and I'll bring that revelation to you. And the more you get a revelation of Father and how big he is, I'm telling you what, it's like you can walk into dark places. You can go through really, Father, I need you right now. I don't know what's going. We sang it, right? Walking through the valley, and it's like, whether I'm on the mountain or I got to speak to the mountain or I'm down in the valley, you got a Father who is in charge, but there is conditionality to it. So look at your outline. Let's, in fact, why don't we put this up? Is Lance still here? Who's going to put up? Oh, he's not here. You know how to do it? You got it? We're going to put up the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. You're good. Bruce, thank you, brother. Why don't we stand? I want us to declare this. I want you to see when Jesus was teaching them to pray, he said, I want you to pray in this manner. And look at the first thing, our Father. He's ours, right? So let's make this declaration together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, you can have a seat. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. And Jesus went on to declare that he is our Father. Ooh, I love that. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 6:18, which is really the title of this message, but I want to unpack something here. Paul, you know, the church at Corinth was kind of like the bad boy girl of church. You know, they always had a lot of issues going on. And we thank the Lord that there was a church that, of course, there's no perfect church, right? And Paul was always correcting them and giving them direction there. And a lot of doctrinal truth came out of the way he was leading them. So in this particular part of 2 Corinthians, I want to pick up, and let's start, really, let's begin in verse 16. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. What union can there be between God, temple, and the idols? Now here's another one of those amazing statements he makes. For we are the temple of the living God. The temple of the living God. Do you feel like a temple? There are times, right? It's like, this is one of those, again, it kind of messes with your head. You are a temple of the living God. Now, the next several verses, there's actually 5 Old Testament prophecies wrapped up in the next 2 verses. You can go back and look at them. It's in Leviticus and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and 2 Samuel. But he says this, we are the temple of the living God, and God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers, separate yourselves from them, that says the Lord, don't touch anything filthy, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So he makes this promise. This is kind of connected. We know from 2 Peter verse 1, you know, the in that chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says that you are the living stones built in the temple of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Again, this is like bigger than my head can get a hold of. But when you start to get the revelation that you are a living stone being built together, all of us together are fashioned in the wall of the temple of God. That's why when we worship corporately, getting all really electrocuted right now. Jesus. He loves it. That means it's just truth pouring out. I love the Holy Spirit when he does that. So you are a living stone. If you've been born again, you're alive in Christ. And you are then declared a son or a daughter. So the problem is our fatherless and motherless broken areas of our lives that no perfect human being can be all of that. And some of us messed it up bad, or some of us may not have even had a father present, or he met model. But yet, in the midst of it, God says, I'll work all things together for good. Right? He doesn't waste anything. Now, you got to get past your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your resentment and the confusion and the lies and the deceiving spirits. But as we ascend the hill of the Lord with clean hands and a purity of heart, we can stand in this holy place, and this becomes more and more of a reality. So let me have you turn with me also. Let's turn to John's Gospel. Let's start in chapter 1. Gospel of John in chapter 1. I want to lay a foundation, and then I want to expose what I believe is one of the deceiving spirits so that we can go even deeper in Revelation. Probably very familiar with John's Gospel. John, the only disciple that was not martyred, he lived through two generations of the church. The devil tried to kill him, right? We know from history that they wanted to shut John up, and they boiled him in oil. At least that's the accounts from Josephus and others. They tried to kill him by boiling. Think about that for a minute. Lowering somebody in boiling oil and it doesn't harm them? Okay. Remember, even Jesus prophesied. Peter and John were always in competition, right? Those two guys. The one that Jesus loved, John writes in his own gospel, right? The one who ran faster to the tomb, right? And then Peter turns and says, what about him? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. You're going to go somewhere and lay you, before you went where you wanted to go, but in the last days or your end of your life, you're going to be stretched out. And if he has to live longer, don't you worry about it, Peter. I'm paraphrasing there. And we know from the accounts of the gospel that Peter was crucified upside down. He was stretched out, right? We know from accounts also his wife was martyred just before Peter was, the same time that the emperor beheaded Paul. So we see in this account in John not only writes the gospel of all that truth. I love 1 John. If you meditate on 1 John chapter book 1, 2, and 3, when you get to the place where John says, I want you to have joy and fullness and fellowship with us. I saw him. I ate with him. I was with him. He says, I was there for all of it. And he writes that later and later. He dies later at old age, and many believe in Ephesus. So we pick up in 1 John, and he tells us how it was in the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Already existed with God, was God, was the Word. He existed from the beginning, and he created everything. Biblical truth. But then he goes on. Look at verse 12. Of course, you're probably familiar with this. He says, but all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Let me read King James. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power. He gave you the power, if you believe him, to become the sons of God. That, it's like, once I become a believer, once I surrender to him in salvation, something powers up in you, the Spirit of God, that infills your spirit man. You have the power to then become the children of God. And what King James says, they gave them the right to become. Why? Because we read about the blood, the power of the blood. The one who sacrificed, who opened the door, who ripped open the veil that there was no separation anymore between you and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he says, You got to write and you get the power. Verse goes on, it says, they are, you are, reborn not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. So we see that there's a power that's released. Turn with me to chapter 3. You're probably real familiar with this, at least I hope so. We know that for God so loved, but that whole interchange with the Pharisee Nicodemus, who knows that Jesus is a teacher because he sees the miracles happening, but he knows it's probably not good for his job description to be seen with Jesus. So he sneaks in at night. Just like that, the fear of man, the fear of the, yeah, we can make fun of it, but yeah, we're not so different. So he shows up, and of course, it's a divine appointment. And you got this whole interchange about, unless you're born of water, born of the Spirit, you can't be born again. And this Pharisee, who's supposed to know a lot of stuff, he says, well, how can that happen? How am I going to go back in my mom's womb? And, you know, he just like unpacks. He goes, you're a leader of the religious and you don't understand these things? Like, wow, what an exchange. But let's go on. Let's pick up in, look at verse 5. Jesus says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans reproduce by human life, but Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Look at verse 13. No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses was lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. So now he's prophesying about the cross. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save it, the world through him. Look at verse 18. If this is not good news, I don't know what is. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. You get an amen on that? You may judge yourself. The world may judge you. You got family members or law, whatever. They may say, you did this and you did that. And there's a whole litany of that. As soon as you come to God, guess what? And you can repent, he takes your sin and washes it away. As far as the east is from the west. That's, I've had people tell me, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me. So what you're saying is that the royal blood, Jesus must have lied that the royal blood wasn't enough. They said, that's a lie, isn't it? Oh, yeah. But no wonder you're depressed and anxious and feel so guilty and ashamed because you believe the lie. You're supposed to understand the revelation of that truth, and those who have much sin love him more. When she left my office, like, talk about joy of the Lord. There is no judgment to those who believe in him. Not judged, not condemned, but those who believe not already. Look at verse 18. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. This belief is a big, big deal. In fact, it'll determine where you spend eternity, right? So this evangelist is part of this thing, but I want us to look at, turn with me to John 8. Let's keep going to the right. Those who have a Bible with them, book. Some of you have your phones. John chapter 8. Look at verse 24. This is why I said to you, Jesus speaking, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. He's having an exchange right then with the religious guard. So the Pharisees have come, and they're having a hard time with the fact that he's doing miracles, and a lot of people are being drawn to him. So they come to challenge him and to find a way, they actually get justified to kill him. So in this interchange with Jesus, he reveals some amazing things, and some of it's good and some of it's pretty frightening, actually. So let's pick up. Verse 28 says, when you have been lifted up as the Son of Man gets lifted up on the cross, then you're going to understand. So he's explaining to the disciples now, he's revealed actually what's going to happen. they're farther enough along now. He's actually prophesied that Peter will deny him. So he's in that place where the timeline of what's about to take place is narrowing. I believe we're that right now. When you see what's going on in the world right now, hello, it's time to be awake and get in the ark of Jesus. Keep witnessing to all your family members. This thing is getting really, really short. The whole alignment of what's happening in Israel and the nations that are there, it is like God, he could show up at any time. So here he's getting that same narrowing is happening in this challenging time. And Jesus declares what's going to happen to him. And then he goes in 31. He turns to these sons of Abraham, the Pharisees, who thought because of their religious pedigree, because of their background and their culture, they're in the safe place. They're not. And he actually, this becomes such a departation of truth from error. You realize from Scripture, I'm going to read it, if you're not a born-again believer, you're actually a son of the devil. You're a son or daughter of the devil or of God. There's only two choices. It's the truth, right? We'll see it right here. So if you don't believe in Christ, or you have, that's why those who don't believe in Christ, it's no wonder they do crazy things. They are deceived and lost and believe all kinds of wacko stuff that sometimes I can't even, how could you ever be? It's because there's major deception. So we see this. It says, he goes on and says in verse 31, Jesus turns to the people and says to them, if you truly are my disciples, if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they said, and we have been slaves to no one. What do you mean we'll be set free? Jesus replied, I'll tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is already a slave to sin, and a slave is not permanent, a member of the family, but a son, a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you truly are free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and some of you are trying to kill me. Murdering spirit, how do you justify that? I thought, wasn't there a commandment? Hello. You're trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are followers of the advice of your father. Uh-oh. Our father's Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied. For if you really were the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. And instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. And you're intimidating your real father. They replied, we are not illegitimate children of God. Himself is our true father. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own. But he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things as he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He always has been. He's hated the truth. And because there's no truth in him, where he lies, it's constant. It's his character. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, just naturally, you don't believe me. Which of you can truly accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God believes gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. You Samaritan devil. And then they want to kill him. I mean, that's not an easy sermon that's to deliver. How'd you like to have people? You're a bunch of children of your devil father. Like, but it's the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And so Jesus wasn't slack concerning his truth. And we need the truth. That's why sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to offend anybody if I tell them they're going to hell. When they're sitting in hell, they might be offended at you. Really bad. So then, I'm not trying to mess with this. I'm just trying to get us to understand this idea that... you've heard the term, well, I'm slightly pregnant. No, right? Well, I'm slightly a believer or I'm on the journey. No, you're either a child of God or you're not. And so, and that's a choice. And then we understand, I had this woman from another church come in this week. And so she said, I was taught when I came to Christ, everything's supposed to work out. How come I'm having such a hell of a time? Right? Because why? Because guess what? Revelation 12:17 says, those who keep the commandments of God and their testimony in Christ, the devil declares war against you. We're in a war zone, all right? I know Jesus is coming back and that, but right now it's a war. That's why you're supposed to take a firm stand against him, right? 1 Peter 5:8-8, watch out. The devil seeks whom he may devour. Take a firm stand. Ephesians 6, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, put on the full armor of God, having all to do, stand. Come on, you got to bloody the nose of the devil. You got to get in a place where, you know what, there's a bloodline. There's a bloodline around me and my family, and you cross the bloodline, devil, and guess what? You may try to form a weapon against me. It isn't going to prosper. In fact, it will backfire. But you got to believe it, you got to declare it, and you got to fight it because he gave you the weapons. We can beg God, oh God, please show up. He gave us everything to stand. We're waiting for him to pick up the weapon to come, and it's like, I already put it in your hand. What do you mean? And we have tested this, I know it, and it's hard. He works so patiently with us because, man, we're so like, we are wimps when we start this thing. And then we start to see how big it is that he is. Like, and then he even gives us the ability to be part of the glorious presence. I've said this before. I'm sorry if I'm repeating. I want you to see yourself as the little mouse who now belongs to Jesus. And Jesus is this bull elephant. I was charged when I was in Tanzania by a bull elephant. I'm telling you, that is like, but I want you to see this big bull elephant. His name is Jesus. And you and the bull elephant, you're friends. And you're walking, and you get to the bridge, and that bridge starts racking and rolling, and all of a sudden, the little mouse turns and says, we shook that thing, didn't we? Right? And he turns and says, yeah, we did, didn't we? He wants you to be with, he wants you to see he's huge. And the greater you understand the revelation of how big he is as your father, you got so much. It's like, that is a peaceful, you can lay your head down in the middle of a bomb shelter and say, God, I thank you. You can be in a dark place. You can I don't have money for groceries. I don't have this. I don't have that. I've got people accusing. In the name of Jesus. My daddy owns all the cattle on the hills. He's able to send millions and millions of angels. He promised he'd send angels to assist us in the redeemed. He told us in Psalm 91 he would send angels to take charge over us. He said he would spring the fowler's snare. Lord, I thank you. Get the word on the inside, and every time you're challenged, you take that thought captive, right? 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty to the pulling down of demonic strongholds. Take every thought captive and pull it down, everything that raises it above itself against the knowledge of Christ. And then you declare that truth, and man, you watch what happens. There's something about it, right? We just had that testimony. I love Teresa's testimony. Where's Teresa?
Yeah, Children's Church.
Oh, Children's Church. Teresa, well, then I'll brag on her. I love it. She is like, she's a rockhead in Jesus. I'll tell you. She'll correct you right in the middle of a sentence. No, that's not going to happen. So the doctors come in with all the reports last week. She's 3.5 days, sometimes sitting in the emergency room hallway, right, with curtains. And then she gets in her room, and doctors come in, and the echo and this and that and the MRI and all the blood. You got a blockage. No. No, no. I'm telling you all this. No, no, no. Well, we got to go in and do we got to go up through your groin. We got to go check the blockage. We're going to put stents in. No, no, no. Well, they go in and guess what? There's no blockage. And in fact, he says a 20-year-old would be jealous of the heart you have. She's not 20. I won't divulge, but so there's that place where there's life and death in your tongue, and you'll have what you say. Amen. And there's that place of, no, I have a faith in Christ. Now, we got team members praying and believing. Same thing just happened with David Wiley this week. He's in the hospital yesterday with some AFib thing going on. And anyway, he's all healed in Jesus' name. There's something about family praying together, declaring to the mountain, no. But we got to be a people that believe this word. Now, it doesn't always work out the way you thought it was going to work out. God, you wouldn't do it that way. Why would you do it? I wouldn't do it that way. His ways are not yours. You just believe him and trust him. So he goes on, and after he tells them, you know, you guys are a bunch of children of the devil. Then he goes on and heals the blind man in chapter 9, and just it gets better and better. So we see here, if you look at John 14, I'm not going to read this, but I do want us to look at it. This is an amazing scripture. Now he's revealed so much of what's happened and what's going to happen. He washes the feet of the disciples. He has the Last Supper, and then he declares, he predicts Peter's denial there in chapter 13. Tells him, you're going to actually deny me, Peter, three times. And then he goes on, and he tries to bring comfort to them. In John 14, I counted 17 times in 30 verses the word Father is used. If that's, he's not stuttering. Right? He's trying to get us aware. Yes, there's trials coming. I'm going to go away. You got Peter and Thomas, they're all whacked out with, we don't know where you're going. At least show us the Father. Jesus probably after 3.5 years, he goes, what have you not seen? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What about the multiplication of the fish and the loaves and the blind and the lame and the walking on the water and the being translated from the sea? What did... It's like, okay, but let me comfort you. He starts with, don't let your hearts be troubled. John 14, 1. When you've got a troubled heart, this would be a really good place, especially what's circumstances of life, children, marriage, bills, health. Don't let your heart. You can let it. You can get all anxious and all wound up. Or you can get in the Word and say, what do you say about this, Lord? And start speaking from your spirit once you're born again, and let your soul be transformed by the washing of the Word. And I suggest sometimes you get right in front of the mirror, pull out that word that counters this lie that's trying to come on you, and you speak to yourself. Look yourself right in the face in the mirror. I know that sounds weird, but I'm telling you, I've done it. It's like, Tom, you need to listen up. You know what the Spirit of God says? Because my soul man still needs transformation. And I got to look at this. This sounds weird. My wife will sometimes say, you okay in there? We're fine in here. Me and Jesus are just fine. Right? Okay. So listen up, Tom. Here's what the Holy Spirit says. And I start reading Scripture. And I'm washing my mind, and my spirit man is taking authority over the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, because you're still broken because there are fatherless and motherless areas in your heart that God wants to be your father. And so when we see this power to be transformed, and he goes on, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I love this. It says there's both a place and a time. I don't know. 2,000 years he's been working on this place. Like, wow. And there's a certain time. You were given a certain bookend of life to begin and end. And he's the beginning of all life, right? We know that from Psalm 139. Every day's been recorded in your book, David told us. So when you live and when you die, and it wasn't, well, yeah, my parents got together. No, Jesus is the Spirit who gives life. However you got here, God's the giver of life. And so we see this, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, we don't even know where you're going. Thomas said, we have no idea. Now they're getting fearful. Like, no, you're going to leave us? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And you really know, you've really known me. And you would know who my Father is. Philip says, Lord, just would you show us the Father? See, they have seen so much. We know, at least, you notice it wasn't Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Elijah and Moses talking. Jesus gets enveloped in the cloud, and the Father speaks, this is my Son. And Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone. Can you imagine Peter and John? And they're like, how do you keep that quiet? We just saw the Father. We saw Moses. We saw Elijah. It's like, yeah, it's like, you got on. But poor Philip and Thomas, they didn't see it. Show us the Father. They had seen. Again, I don't know why the three inner, I don't know, but it was the way God set it up. And then it's maybe for this revelation. You've seen me, Philip. Then you've already seen the Father. Study me. Look at me. You'll already know because I'm in the exact replica. Right? We are one in the Spirit. John 17. We're going to see here John 14. They are one in the Spirit. This is that mystery of the fullness of the triune God and the Holy Ghost, and they're all together. They were there in the beginning. I shared Wednesday, right? In the beginning when he created, the Spirit hovered and said, let us make God, make man in our image. So it's always been about family. The question is, which family are you in and who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? That is really, really an important question of all eternity. And I just laid the foundation. It's one or the other. And you trust me, you don't want that, dude. I'm so saddened when I hear these Satanists that come out and said, you know, we want Lord Satan. He's our father. I said, oh my gosh, you are so deceived. The Church of Satan. And even Anton LaVey, who created the Church of Satan, go read his account of how he died. It was terrible. Please, you don't want to fall there. In the name of Jesus, that ought to motivate us to be gospel sharers. So if you look at your outline, these are several things, that at least nine things that stuck out to me in John 14. First of all, that 17 times about the Father. The Father's house, it's a big, big house. And there's lots of room. And he's got a lot of food in there. Right? Yeah, we danced to that, right? And so Jesus himself said, I'm going to prepare that place for you. And there's a specific time. He's the way. Number three, he's the way to the Father. Number five, seek to really know Jesus, then you will really know the Father, and you will see him. You want to see the Father? Look for Jesus. Pursue him. I love that. We want to see him. In number six, he said, the Father and Jesus are one. Number seven, you really love Jesus, and the Father will love you, and more revelation will come. The more you love Jesus, the more the Father is attracted, right? And then it says, more revelation, verse 21. More revelation will come. Then he promises the Father will send the gift. Now, we spent the last two Wednesday nights talking about Holy Spirit, and then Pentecost Sunday, last Sunday. Woohoo! That was awesome. We made it clear, right? The gift of the Father is the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And when he comes, you're going to get power. We just read, when that Holy Spirit comes in you, when you're born again, you're going to get power to become a son or daughter. Right? But he also says, I'm going to give you more because he's going to come upon you for power so you can be my witnesses, right, to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And then he goes on, Acts 2, it falls in Pentecost, right? And these little fearful guys who could even deny that they even knew Jesus are all of a sudden standing up to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who could stone them to death and declare, you want us to listen to you? He says, these were just ordinary men who had been with Jesus. No education. How do they get this boldness? Well, let me tell you, it's God on the inside. Woo! So he goes on and says, this is the Father's gift that will send to you to teach you, to comfort you, to guide you. And then he goes on in verse 15. Real love looks like something. He tells me, if you love me, do what I say. If you don't love me, you don't won't do what I say. So this whole idea of the talk cheap stuff, you might sing a good song, but it's the lifestyle. What's your lifestyle look like? What's your language sound like? What's the stuff that's in your cupboard? How much television do you watch? Right? What is it? And I'm preaching to me and the choir. All of us have a journey, have a decision to make. What kind of substances are you using as a form of idolatry? had somebody come to me this week and say, well, you know, this person I'm with is like, uses marijuana because it helps him calm down. Don't be drunk with wine and be filled with the Holy Ghost. In there is destruction. The paranoia associated with weed and the destruction and the anxiety, it is a gateway. Trust me, I've done deliverance on heroin addicts. Trust me. You don't need that stuff. Any form of idolatry, anything you're using to bring comfort in the place of the peace that is Jesus. Now, that's not condemnation. There's an invitation. What did he say? Clean hands and a pure heart. Lay down idolatry. He says, no idolater will inherit the kingdom of God. Not my words, his. There's a place where we have to make a choice. And it's an invitation. He's not an ugly, angry God that says, you better get this right. No, he says, please, my son and daughter, lay it down. In me is truth. That's the invitation. And the more we walk in that invitation, the more and if you mess it up, just repent quickly. And don't wallow in the, oh, woe is me, the shame and guilt, because he says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just read to you, there's no judgment. The moment you say, I need the power of the blood of Jesus to set me free from this, and I walk there, right? And then he goes on and says, there's no temptation known to you that God hasn't provided a way out. Don't focus on the temptation, focus on the way out. And if you mess it up, ask God to give you the grace and the power. He will. Yes. But you got to choose. Yes. Righteousness is a weapon. This is a weapon of warfare. And the enemy will try to keep you in a place where you feel guilted, you feel ashamed, you feel broken. Don't stay there. Quickly repent. I was talking to someone recently. You know, every time I used to wallow. I don't wallow anymore. As soon as I know I've been confessed my sin, I walk right on. I said, that's the way to do it. But don't let cheap grace, oh yeah, I can screw up anytime I want. That is a wrong attitude. Wrong belief system. Yes, he has grace. But I'll tell you what, the more you walk with him, the narrower the road gets. Right? Those who have been heard the truth, much is required. Right? You're held accountable for the truth you know. And so this is that, like, oh, Lord, I know you love me, but I may keep walking up the mountain. He's there. He's a long-suffering God, and he wants us. If Peter could mess this up, how many times? And then he even asked, how many times do I need to forgive? 70 times 7? Okay, wow. How many times has God forgiven you or me? Oof. All right. So real love really looks like something. Look at, these are some models that Scripture just kind of jumps out at us. I just listed a couple there. Father models from Scripture. Oftentimes we hear about the prodigal story, right? The prodigal son who goes, spends his money on prostitute and drinking and drugging and takes his legacy, goes out there, wakes up in the pig pen and says, I'm going back to my father's house. At least I could be a servant there. We focus on the prodigal son and his brother. How about the father? That's a great example of our Father. First of all, he'll let you, because of your free will, he'll let you take your stuff and go squander it. Go ahead, son. You can waste it on anything you want. You've got a free will choice. But he's waiting there every day. My son coming back. Sees him afar off. Runs to him. They have a party. Gets the robe, gets the ring, gets the sandals. Son is restored. It's like, that tells us something about your Father. Your Father. Whew. What a God. What a Father. Not your earthly Father that the echo of the past that tries to sit on you, the things that have been spoken over you, or he didn't provide, or he should have provided. Don't go there. The Lord will show you, I'm not like your earthly Father. Honor your father and mother, it'll go well with you, and you'll live long. But I'm a father to your fatherless areas, right? And I've seen it. Oh, I've seen it in my own eyes. Woo-hoo. So the Father, what an example, because we're all prodigals. It's sometime in our life, and there are prodigal areas of my life and yours. He's saying, get out of that pig pen and get over here. That's Southern, by the way. Noah, how about that? A righteous man. The whole world's totally wicked, And because there's one righteous man, he saves his whole family. We call that blessings of the legacy. Your family, you bring sanctification to your family, especially if you've got an unbelieving spouse or children. Remember, 1 Corinthians 7 talks about if the unbeliever wants to leave, let him go. But if they stay in that spousal relationship, you actually sanctify them and the children. That's called collateral blessing of the legacy of who you are in Christ, because your daddy is actually the grandpa to them until they get born again, right? And so this is that blessing. Noah, as the righteous man, spares his own family. How about Joseph, Jesus' stepdad? The world would say, you know, your son's illegitimate. And that woman you're married, you know, she got pregnant out of wedlock. No, she did not. I was betrothed to her, and she was overcome by the power of the Holy Ghost. And yet, here's his stepdad, who actually saved the Son of God how many times? Herod wants to kill all the children at 2 years old. He moves them out, grows up in Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Then when they want to kill all the two-year-olds, he takes them to Egypt. He heard the voice of God through dreams and visions. And so I've met stepdads who are better than earthly dads. I've met spiritual fathers who are better than natural fathers. They're available. There's a connection. And then Jesus said, well, who's my family? Remember his mom and brothers who don't even believe him, right? Well, Mary did, but the brothers are outside. They actually mock him. And Jesus, the house is so full. There's so many miracles happen. There's people all over the house they're in. And the disciples are cranky because they can't even eat because so many people are coming for miracles. See, revival's messy, right? And so they show up. His mother, Mary's outside with the brothers. What is this? Your mother and brothers are outside. Your family. Here's another teaching moment. He says, who's my family? Well, that's a wild question to ask the disciples. Those who do the will of my Father. Their family. This is a biblical truth. I've seen spiritual family tighter than blood family. In fact, usually that's the way it works. But hey, so Jesus wants a big family. It's always been about the Father, the Son, and the family. He's going to have a family. How about Jethro, number four there? Father-in-law. Some of us have had godly father-in-laws. Jethro tells Moses, you're going to wear yourself out, son. You better divide this thing up. You're trying to work morning to night? That ain't going to work very well. Why don't you set up leaders over 50s and 100s? And he takes that wise counsel that might have derailed Moses. See, there are godly men and godly women in our lives that can speak truth into us. It may not be what you want to hear at the time. I've been there. Woo-hoo. I had a pastor speak to me like a Dutch uncle, and he saved my marriage. Thank God for Pastor David in New York when I was a mess. That man spoke to me and said, you better love that wife. I don't see any blood on you hanging on the cross. Jesus died for his bride. How about you do the same? Like, almost left his office. Like, who are you going to talk to me like that? But I knew it was true. That rebuke is a truth. And sometimes you need to hear it right smack dab in the middle of your face to get it. Like, and then you have a choice. What are you going to do with it? Because there are godly men and women that God puts on earth to speak truth. They may miss it. How about family legacy? Let's read number five. This is scripture out of Romans 8 and Galatians. Our Father gave us Holy Spirit so we could be led by the Spirit, for then we are the children of God. If you are led by the Spirit, you are the children of God. Why? Because you're following God, the Spirit. And when you follow God, the Spirit, you are the children of God because you are obedient, doing what he commanded you to do. And it's hard. There's times when we want to do our thing. That's why we're rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 15. Keep going. And if we're children, if heirs of God with Christ, we belong to Christ, and we are descendants and heirs of the promise. Whew. Galatians 3:29. So I want to end now, but I want us to pray. I want to do something this morning. One, we know the gift of the Father is the Holy Spirit, right? We know that that's sent. That's out of Luke's Gospel chapter 3. If you've never asked that into your life, it'd be really good to do that. But also, I want to do an altar call about more invitation or allowing the revelation of the Father. We know that's the revelation of Jesus. He's the one, as you pursue him, you'll see him more. But some of us, I don't know about you, for many, many years, it was really hard for me. I could pray to Jesus, but praying to the Father was difficult because of my earthly echoes, right? And then the Lord busted me. No, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And I'm not your earthly father, the things that you witnessed that were scary and hurtful. Honor your father for the good things he did. But I also want you to see that I'm not like that. And so I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal the Father in a greater measure. So let's stand. I want to invite you to come. If there's a part of this revelation of desire, we're going to do a corporate prayer together, because I believe that the Lord wants us to understand that he's our Father. So why don't you come, if you're willing to pray that, Lord, I want a greater revelation of the Father, but then I also know I need a greater revelation of Jesus, because he's the way to the Father. That revelation comes by giving and receiving what the Father's gift is, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, out of chapter Luke, right? He tells us an evil father can give even food to his children. He doesn't give them snakes and scorpions. He doesn't do that. So if an evil father can help even in the journey, but how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit if you ask him? So the Holy Spirit is God on earth, one of the triune parts of what we need as the teacher, the equipper, the comforter that we can have. And Jesus promised in that John 14, I'm going to send him, and it's actually an advantage to you. I go away, because then he'll come. And when he comes, he will lead you and guide you. So that's the opportunity. You have an option. You can pursue this or not. So why don't you get out of your seat? Let's just line up together. I'm going to be right with you. I want more and more revelation. I've been getting some deeper revelation. I believe we're getting closer and closer to this end of this season, where God is showing us the wars and the rumors of wars and the alignment of the nations. And we want to see, one, we want to be in the ark of Jesus. So just close your eyes a minute. Whether you're up front or in the back, if there's anyone here that has not surrendered their life to Christ, I want you to just raise your hand right now. Or you want to rededicate your life, because that is the start. That's the journey. Anyone here that you were convicted? I see it. Any others? It's an invitation to come into that place. You can put your hand down. Thank you. So let's affirm this first, our salvation message. Father, thank you. On this Father's Day, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit. I ask for you to come into my heart in such a greater fullness, dreams and visions, revelation. Teach me, equip me, let me be an instrument of your love and your purpose. I surrender, and I give you permission. I want that gift of your Holy Spirit. So I surrender and I receive. Now I ask you, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to let me be your witness. Set up divine appointments. I receive you as Lord and Savior, but also as my healer, my deliverer, and the King of Kings. When you come back, I want to be prepared. So prepare me. Show me. I give you my family, all that I consider precious. I ask you to bring it in the ark of Jesus. Go after my family. Go after that which I know is important. I ask you to reveal glory and to show me your purpose. And I thank you. I ask for more. Lord, help me to be that instrument. Let it be based upon the love of God. Not on my skills, not on what I know, but on your grace. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that it's such a pleasure, such a wonderful thing to be able to be among people who love God. Lord, we're all on a journey. We're imperfect beings. We get offended. We judge. We get critical. And we want grace for us. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful that you're so patient with us. And there's no condemnation. There's not someone jealous or, Lord, we want to be free from all jealousies, competition, comparisons. Lord, anyone that's had a fatherless or motherless area that has really wreaked havoc in their life, I just release right now that promise out of Psalm 68:5. You're a father to the fatherless. And it also says you'll put the lonely in families. Lord, I pray that the family of God here, this Global River family, one of the tribes, just one of the sheepfolds, Lord, it would be truly a family. Wherever there's been offense or wounds or judgments or criticisms or gossips or blah, 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 Lord, I pray that you undo, outdo, and overdo any plan or scheme, the tactic the enemy's had against this family. And Lord, let it be a lighthouse. Lord, I ask you to draw the lost. Bring them in from the north, south, east, and west. Lord, I pray for divine appointments this week. Lord, I commission them now as missionaries of the gospel. That might be to a neighbor, to a friend, to a family. Lord, that they'll be aware that the God of the universe, the Father who is their Father, and he walks with them, and he's going to set up divine appointments. All you got to do is open your mouth with the love of God and watch what he does. So, Lord, I commission for many to come into the kingdom as a result of these missionaries. So I thank you, Lord, when they go out this door and they enter the mission field of this southeastern North Carolina, wherever you take them, Lord, let the Holy Spirit be so evident, so full, so powerful, they can't miss it. I ask you to give them dreams and visions at night. I pray that their prayers would be filled with power. That you'd bring revelation that we know as soon as God starts showing up and they know things by the Spirit and then you confirm it with your glory. God, it draws us in and we get to see the revelation of Jesus more and more and more. And then we fall in love and we realize, oh my God, you are such a good dad. And we cry out, Abba, Father. So, Lord, I pray right now, I cut them free from anything generationally, any witchcraft, curses, vexes spoken over, anybody who's conjured stuff, lied over them, spoken things, projected over them, all ungodliness, uncleanness, in the name of Jesus, I cut it off by the power and the blood of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to sever all ties to worldliness, to ungodliness, to immorality, to addictions, to perversions, all forms of idolatry. Lord, I pray, release the power now that they walk out of him empowered by the Holy Ghost, and they will love you more and they will fall in love more. And I thank you, Lord. I ask you to seal it all. I ask you to send angels on assignment to their homes, to their families, to their workplaces, that you said you would dispatch angels to assist them. So Lord, I pray that they would have that revelation. I'm not alone. I've never been alone. And Lord, I pray right now, those who have raised their hands or given their hearts in Christ, Lord, let I seal this in the blood of Jesus. And I encourage you, go tell someone, I gave my life, I rededicated my life today. Tell someone and get prayer. And we thank you. Can I get a great amen? Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have a great day in Jesus. Enjoy Father's Day. Don't forget Wednesday night. It's going to be starting right here, 6:30 Wednesday night. Don't miss the get free of the weekend. Be here 6:30 Friday night. God bless y'all. Thank you all for being here.
We hope you were blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.